Today is Vision Offering Sunday. So we do this once a year. Last week, we had a Vision Sunday and outlining, firstly celebrating what God has done, but then outlining what we believe, where God is calling us to, the vision that he's given to us as individuals, but also as a community. And our vision offering is an opportunity to give towards what God is doing, to give into the vision of Open Arms and to be able to play a part and be able to say, I'm investing in this. I've got ownership in this. This is my community. This is my church. I am Open Arms. Open Arms is not about a group of leaders that stand on the platform. Open Arms is about a community and a congregation in South Dublin, in Kildare, with a vision to see people experience life change through Jesus Christ in our city and in our nation. And so we've got a large vision, and this is an opportunity. We're saying, hey, would you play a part in this vision? And so today I'm going to speak for a few moments on a topic that I just brought to you today, that I felt like God has for me to bring to you. And then at the end, we're going to be have a small presentation highlighting some of the goals that we've had in this year already and then looking towards 2020. But firstly, I want to speak to you on the topic of becoming fruitful. Becoming fruitful. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. And as a church, we want to be fruitful. We want to see our faithfulness lead towards fruitfulness. We want to see people's lives change through Jesus and to see our people, us, experience fruit in our lives, in our homes, and in our communities. In fact, I believe that each and every one of us want to experience fruit in our lives. Would you agree with me on that? You're with me. It's a conversation we can have today, right? I want to experience fruit in my life. And not only my life as a whole, but every area of my life. I want to see fruit in my family, in my marriage. I want to see experience fruit in the relationships that I have with those around me. But I also want to experience a genuine relationship with God where I experience a fruitful relationship with him. And that fruit that's been bearing fruit in my life is seen making an impact in the lives of others and giving glory to God. And the question that I want us to ask today is, how do we become fruitful? What does the Word of God say about being fruitful? And to discover this together, we're going to look at a man called Noah, found in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 6. And many of you, I'm sure, know Noah. You've heard the story of the flood, whether you were in church and Bible school or Bible school, kids church, or you were in a school that heard about the Bible. We've all kind of heard or seen the movie about Noah and the flood. But today I want to look at a different perspective of Noah and look at Noah the man, not just what happened to Noah. Look at, why did God choose Noah? What made Noah so favored, and what made Noah so fruitful in his life? And I'm going to just share with you some key scriptures, and then we're going to look at and asking that question, how do we become fruitful? Well, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, begins in the story how the Lord had saw the great wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. It's incredible that we see in the very first book, the very first chapter, where God creates the earth. Now, six chapters in, man has already ruined the earth. So much so that God is almost pressing the reset button. But we read in chapter 6, verse 8, it says, but Noah, one man, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, why did Noah find favor with God? Why, out of everyone, did God decide to choose Noah? We read in chapter 6, verse 9, it says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. That was it. He was faithful and obedient to God. We don't read of all his accolades. We don't read of all the great things he may have done or the great person he was. He walked faithfully with God. He was obedient to God. Chapter 6, verse 13 said, so God says to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. And then we read that God gives him the instructions of the ark that he's to build. It gives him all the measurements, all the details, the materials that he's to use. And we see that it's 1.5 football fields long and it's 4 stories high. So it's not just a boat, it's an ark. It's a massive ark that he's calling him to build. And in verse 17, he outlines the plan of what's going to happen. He says, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Here we see that God makes a promise to Noah. He promises to provide for him and to protect him all the days of his life. Not only does he promise him, but he embraces him and he brings him in to be a part of this great purpose. To be part of the purpose, to be in communion with God, almost like co-laboring with God, saying, this is the purpose that I'm going to outline, and I want you to play a part in this purpose. And this is key. Chapter 6, verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He was obedient to the Lord. Now, one thing we see that many of us may skip over and maybe have not even seen in the story, from that moment, it's not like he built the ark, the flood came, and everything happened. There was 120 years between when God said, build the ark, and then when God speaks next. 120 years where Noah is building the ark on dry ground before anything happens. It is hard to wait 120 minutes, let alone 100, if we ever live to 120 years, I don't know, but 120 years. We just take that in the context of our own life. It's not always the time that is the hardest thing, but it's waiting that is the hardest thing. It's wondering, wishing, wanting. That's the hardest thing, where we have this desire. We know God has spoken, but we haven't yet seen anything happen. And in chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord comes to Noah and he says, go into the ark. Now is the time. You and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. And verse 5 says, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 23 and 24, scriptures we're probably more familiar with. It says, then every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. And the waters flooded the earth for 150 days, but God remembered Noah. When we read throughout scripture from Genesis to Revelation, when we see these words that God remembers someone or remembers something, he's about to take action for that person's welfare. When the Israelites were in Egypt enslaved for 400 years, but it comes to a point when God remembers his people. God never fails his people. He never fails. There may be time that causes pain and hurt. It may be a delay. There may be space in time when the promise is given to when the promise is fulfilled, but God never fails. He didn't forget about Noah, but he had positioned him for a purpose. He knew what he was doing. And then we see after the water dries up, after everything finishes, and then Noah then walks onto dry ground with his family. Chapter 9, verse 1, it says this, then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Did the blessing come before the faithfulness? Or did the faithfulness lead to fruitfulness? You see, here we can learn from Noah that when we are faithful and obedient, we become fruitful. We become full of fruit, full of health. Noah, what do we see? He was a faithful, he had found favor with God. He was a righteous man walking faithfully with God. When God gave him a command, gave him an instruction, he says he did all that he was commanded of him. He didn't do it to get. He did it because God had said it. He did it because God commanded it. And then God blessed Noah and says, be fruitful and increase in number. Be fruitful and grow. Healthy things grow. Growth does not produce health. Health produces growth. Fruitfulness produces growth. You know, we can sometimes want to grow so much in our lives that we skip the process of fruitfulness. We skip the process of wanting to be fruitful. Often, we can so much want it. We want the result. We want to see it. We want the blessing now. So much so that we're not willing to work for what we want. Or in fact, maybe we just skip that process to try and get what we want. That we want to see the purpose fulfilled. We want the end goal without enduring the pain and the hardship that it takes to get there. And it takes pain. It takes hardship. But I would say we all want to grow. Would you say that?
Yeah.
We all want to succeed. That's our heart's desire, that we would aspire towards to see fruit in our lives, to live fruitful lives, to see not only our lives blessed, but those who are in our life blessed through our life. We need to focus on our health. We need to focus on being fruitful. Not to pursue the growth and the results, but rather to pursue the work that will lead towards there, the faithfulness that will lead towards there, the obedience to God and His commands and saying, yes, God, I will. We all want to be fruitful in our lives. So how do we become fruitful? Well, we look at chapter 9, verse 1. It says, then God blessed Noah. After everything, the entire story, then God blessed Noah. What God blesses bears fruit.
Yes.
What God blesses bears fruit. You see, fruitfulness follows God's blessing, and growth follows fruitfulness. So in other words, when God blesses you, He blesses your family, He blesses your career, or what you put your hand to, you receive a blessing that leads to fruitfulness. You see, it's shifting our mindset. It's not coming to a place, God, I want. God, will you give? God, would you somehow do this or do that? God, would you bless me? Would you bless what I'm doing? God, would you bless what you're doing? God, would you bless what you've given me now in the here and now? God, would you bless my marriage, the woman or the man that you've brought into my life? Not, God, would you give me a perfect marriage? Rather, would you bless the marriage that I have? Not, God, would you give me a career that I might be happy in? God, would you bless the work in which I'm doing? Will you give me the grace to manage? Would you give me the fortitude? Will you give me the resilience? God, will you bless the kids that I have? Not, rather, maybe get rid of these ones and get new ones because they're wrecking my head. God, would you bless my kids that I have? God, would you bless? What God blesses bears fruit. It's not about us going and seeing growth or seeing worldly things in our life or trying to get some place where we'll get that possession that will make us happy. We'll get that materialistic thing that's going to bring fulfillment to our lives, or we get somewhere or we get to be someone, but rather, God, would you bless me? Bless who you've created me to be, who you've called me to be. That I can know that what you bless will bear fruit in my life. And the next question will be, well, how do we become blessed? How do we see God bless our lives that leads to fruitfulness? So I just want to take apart some of these scriptures for a few moments and just look at what we see here that we can apply to our lives. We see that it begins with God finding favor with Noah. So Noah finds favor with God. Then he tells Noah that he's going to end all of humankind, like, you know, probably the worst news he's ever heard in his life. And then he says, I want you to build an ark. He outlines the exact materials to be used, the measurements to be followed. And then Noah's response, look at Noah's response in chapter 6, verse 22. He says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. God commanded him. He gave him direct instruction. He gave him commands, and Noah obeyed. Noah's response was obedience. Noah's response was yes. And what we see then over the next 120 years of his life, he's building an ark on dry land, waiting for God to do something. You see, for Noah, obedience meant long-term commitment to a project. Obedience wasn't, yes, God, let's go and do it now. It was, yes, God, I'll get to work. I'm waiting for God to use what I've been getting to work with for God to bless, to use for His purpose. You see, for Noah, obedience meant being patient. Obedience meant staying true to the task, even when you're wondering, is ever anything going to happen? It meant keeping his promise and saying yes. You see, he had found favor with God. He'd been chosen by God. He'd been used for his purposes, received instructions, and his response was yes, but he would soon see that responding yes was the easy part. Staying true to the yes was the most difficult part. Staying true to the obedience that I've committed to do is the hardest part of our lives. You know, as Christians, it can be easy to say yes to God. Would you agree? God has given us his commands. We don't need to ask for his commands. It's in his scriptures. Now, his commands to us may be different for each and every one of us. He's given us a call according to our unique personality, our giftings, the time in which we're in, the person in which we've been created to be. But it's hard to follow through with our commitment to his commands, to remain obedient, to see our faithfulness lead to fruitfulness. Now, in my what's been now 27 years of being in the church, my parents started a church that was 20 years ago next year, and being in ministry, seeing thousands of Christians come through our doors, thousands of people come through our doors, and many of them, maybe for the very first time, committing their life to Jesus, saying yes to God, but soon after facing a trial or disappointment or a difficult season in their lives, that yes soon becomes a no, and they walk away from God. But if you've been in church any amount of time, you may even have seen mature Christians who said yes to God and who remained faithful, who were obedient, who went through trial after trial and disappointment after disappointment, but stuck through it to the end. But there are some who have just faced them so often, so much, at such a high level, that eventually they've come to a place in their lives where they say, I can't keep going. What happens is many people, and maybe this has been you in a season of your life, maybe God is bringing you back to him, but there are so many people who opt out of the path that God had placed them on, who decide to retire from pursuing God's promises for their life. Now, I know today that there are many of you here today that have unlocked potential, where God has given you dreams and desires, that you have found favor with God. God has chosen you. He has called you. He has given you abilities and gifts and talents. You've received great promises from him. But over time, you've allowed those things in your life to slip into the background because of the trials, because of the disappointments. And I believe today that God wants to call those things out of you. I believe today that God wants to bring you back to your response, initial response, which was, yes, Lord, I will. I believe that God wants to call out those things that he's placed in you, to revive those things that have died in you, to be brought back to life, to give you a new confidence, a new security, a new strength, a new hope, to give you fresh grace and anointing for the assignment in which he has called you to carry out in your life. And you may have allowed those things in your life. And there's so many of us, like I've so many times in my life come to this place where the hardest thing to do is just to keep going. And God says today, I believe that he wants to call those things out of you. Can you imagine if we allow God to revive those things in us that were otherwise dead? Can you imagine that we allow God to give us a new confidence in the calling that he has given us, that we decided no longer to shy away because of the insecurities, the inadequacy, or the insignificance that we face? Can you imagine the impact that we would make together? Can you imagine if we decided, all of us in this room, right, God, I'm not just going to say yes today, I'm going to say yes tomorrow. Yes when I go through that stuff that's coming down the line. Yes when I go through that storm and the battle, no matter what comes, I will keep going because I believe that you've called me. You've chosen me. I may be in a season of waiting. I may be in a season of delay. I may be in a season of not seeing you yet. The words that you've spoken come to pass, but I will stick through it to the end. Amen. I will remain obedient in the calling that God has given me. Imagine, we will become an unstoppable church. Yeah. We will become a people that people could trust. Yes. Because they're not a hypocritical bunch of people, airy-fairy, happy-clappy, that say everything is great and we're Christians and God is good. But we're a people who go through pain and brokenness and suffering and endure suffering time after time and time and say God is good. Amen. That's a people who people could trust. Yes. That's a church that would be built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. A church that would withstand the gates of hell. A church that moves forward. A church that doesn't stand back. A church that keeps going saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Breaking down walls in our community. Taking risks in our careers. Bringing change in our families. Teaching our next generation there is a new way of living. A new life. Not a way of giving into things. Not a way of giving up things. But rather going for things in the things of God. Leading the way, pioneering the way, and ultimately bringing freedom to a people who are otherwise enslaved in sin and shame. You see, Noah, he remained obedient over 120 years where he was, Scripture says, mocked and ridiculed. Spending his time and energy building a boat when there was no need. It wasn't Ireland. There wasn't rain coming all the time. Or, you know, I know there's the typhoon in Japan's. There was none of that. It's Israel. It was dry. There was no rain. Imagine what that was like. Doing something completely different than what others are doing. And doing something, investing your time and energy in something that looks like, what's the point? You ever feel like that sometimes? Can you imagine being Noah coming back to his wife and saying, what's the point? Did I really hear from God? Am I just crazy? Should I give up? You ever ask those questions? Have you ever started something and halfway through you forgot the reason in which you started it? Have you ever started something and you realized that it was much harder than you thought it was going to be? Maybe that feels like your marriage right now. Maybe it feels like your marriage is stale and stagnant, void of any intimacy or passion or romance. I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't stop short. Go back to that reason why you said, yes, I will. Till death do us part, I will. Invest in it. Seek help. Do whatever it takes. Say, God, bless this marriage. Keep this marriage together. Maybe in your career. The very thing you are so excited to start now has become such a hindrance as the very thing that's sucking the life out of you. Don't give up. Seek greater help. Get support around you. Do whatever it takes. Upskill yourself. Say, I'm not giving up. I'm leaning into this. Because maybe this is the very thing in which God has called me in. And maybe right now I'm going through this so I can go there. Maybe you prayed for God to bless you. And now that blessing has become a burden in your life, and you found yourself praying for God to take away the blessing in which you have otherwise prayed for. Don't pray for Him to take away. Say, God, give me the grace. God, give me the grace to manage the blessing in which you have given me. Give me the grace to manage the family in which I once prayed for. Give me the grace to manage this job in which I once prayed. Give me the grace to manage these friendships and once I once was in a place where I was lonely and yet you gave me people. Give me the grace to manage the blessing in which you have given me because faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Those who make it successfully in life, and I'm not just talking about materialistically, I mean like making something that goes far beyond their own lives, are not the ones who are the most skilled and talented, the most beautiful, the most who have it all together, the most. They're the ones who stick through it, who keep going, who decide, I'm not going to allow this storm to determine my direction. Rather, I'm going to allow Jesus to determine my direction. He will determine my footsteps. He will determine where I go and how I get there. And how I get there is going to be little by little. Here's two simple things we can learn from Noah. Firstly, make sure that you've heard from God. You've put serious thought and energy into it because when you're saying yes, you're agreeing to stay through it through thick and thin. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. The second thing, when you said yes, remain obedient. Do whatever it takes. Don't give up. Keep coming back to the reason in which you first started. Rediscover that passion you had, that word that you received, that moment in which you knew you were making the right decision. Remain faithful, remain obedient, and you will become fruitful. God will bless your life when you are faithful and obedient. That's what made Noah stand out. He was a righteous man, blameless in the sight of God, and he walked faithfully with God. That was it. I can do that. I'm pretty brutal at a lot of things in my life, but I can be faithful. I can be obedient. I can keep going. As I finish in these scriptures, I just want to bring your attention to chapter 7, verse 23. We see that the whole earth is wiped away. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. Verse 24 says, the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Noah had received a very detailed instruction from God, the measurements to use for the ark, what was going to happen next. But the part that God didn't say was how long it was going to take for the next part to happen. And we see now that Noah, he's all alone, only him and his family in a wooden box, surrounded by water after watching the entire earth wiped away. And here he is. And he doesn't know what's going to happen next. So I don't know. I'm implying this thought. But imagine what it would have been like for Noah. Maybe he thought that this was it. This is the new earth. This ark. The earth is always going to be flooded. Maybe he thought that God would never come. Maybe he thought that he would die before he would see anything come to pass. And yet we see this verse in chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah. He remembered Noah. God had not forgotten Noah and his family. He remembered the covenant in which he had made to him, the promise which he had made to him to protect him and to provide for him. Maybe God hasn't acted in your life for a long time. Maybe it's been a while before you've actually experienced God in such a way where maybe met the experiences you've had in the past. Maybe God hasn't spoken to you or revealed himself in such a way that you know he's true, that you know he's real, that you know the words in which you heard were real and true. And now you feel yourself asking the question, God, where are you? Wondering if he's there. Wondering if the water will ever disperse. Wondering if you'll ever be able to leave the place in which you've been faithful in to step into that next. Wondering if he's forgotten about you. And this morning I want to tell you, God remembers you. He remembers you. He's not forgotten you. He's still with you. He's always been with you. He's not abandoned you. He's not forgotten you. And Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says these incredible words spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, but through the words of God. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, declares the Lord. God is here. He remembers you. He's with you. And when you seek him fervently, with resilience, faithfully, you will find him. His words are true. His words have been tested and tried for generation after generation. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Seeking God and you will find him in your life. I want to encourage you this week. Carve out space and time. If you've been feeling in that place of monotony, where it's mundane and stale and stagnant, say, God, right, I need to sort this out with you. If you remember me, I want you to reveal yourself to me. I'm seeking you out and I will find you. Test God in this. Test his word. Carve out time because you need to remember he has not forgotten you. He remembers you. He's still with you. In fact, God is here. He's here right now. Why don't you just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? God's here. He's with you. Why don't you bring yourself back to that place where you first said yes to Jesus? That passion that you had for him. Maybe you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, and I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. But for those, maybe for the first time, but I know there's many here that you once said yes to Jesus, but you've been finding it easier to allow that yes turn into a no. Or rather, to put yourself into automatic and just to keep going. And I believe today that God wants you to be reminded that he remembers you, he's not forgotten you, but also to come back to that place and saying yes once again. So with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, just for a few moments, just to give you this opportunity, those of you who want to say yes to Jesus, whether it's the first time or say it again, I'm going to ask that you just raise your hand high with me in a few moments after I count to three, as just this moment saying, yes, Jesus, I'm in. I say yes once again. So would you just make that decision in your heart? And after the count of three, join me in raising your hand. After one, two, three, just raise your hand with me. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else here today? Say yes, Lord. Thank you. Hey, can we just all pray this together? And say, Jesus, I give you my life. All of my life. I say yes to you. Will you give me the grace to keep going, to manage the blessing that is my life? In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God glory this morning for those people who are making that decision. I just want to shift gear for a few moments and just as we finish up our time together and we get ready to take up our vision offering, I'm just going to ask the team to come forward and they're going to hand out these cards, got all the details of our vision offering. And if you were here last week for Vision Sunday, you would have received one of these, but you can take one of these again. And I just ask that you'd take that and hold on to it for a few moments as I just want to share with you, firstly, some celebrations of 2019 for us as a church. It's incredible, just 18 months old, and yet we've already seen God do so much. It's just amazing. And just the first slide, I just want to show you that the first real celebration is our first year anniversary. On the 10th of March, 2019, we had 250 people gathering together to worship God as a community, as a congregation. And in our time from this month, October 2019 to October 2018, we've increased our attendance by 20% and have upwards of 220 people on a weekend. Isn't that incredible? Like in 18 months as a church in Ireland, I know. And but we believe it's just the beginning. We need to celebrate the small. We need to celebrate what God has done and say, God, would you continue to do what you've done before? Some of the things that we've just done recently in the last while to continue to grow and expand, firstly, is we've doubled our kids' church space. Just want to put that up. And we've taken our babies and toddlers room from room 5 here to room 6, which is twice the amount of space. And we've taken our kids' church room from room 6 to rooms 10 and 11, two of the largest rooms in the conference center after this room. And because we want our kids to have more space, to have more space to run around, have fun, but also to learn about Jesus. So in room 10, they have worship and preaching and games. And in room 11, they've got small groups and crafts together. So that's something we've done. Secondly, we've launched an overflow room. As you can see, the camera's at the back. An overflow room next door in room 5, which will be live streamed, all the worship and the word for people to be able to, who maybe got little ones, to go in there to safe, nice, comfortable environment, but also for anyone who maybe feels like they're struggling to sit in a service that can sometimes be full and crowded, and that's just a safe place to be able to go, and we want to continue to improve that space and environment also. The next slide you can see is we have invested in our worship experience, as I'm talking for these beautiful screens. And there's something that we want to continuously do, like our seating arrangements, the cameras, the overflow room, but also these screens to be able to see. It's a lot nicer, isn't it, watching that screen to this screen. We are launching online live streaming in November, something that's been on our heart for quite a long time. And we're going to launch it hopefully in conjunction with our new series, The Missing Piece. And so it's going to be live on Facebook and YouTube. And for any of your friends or family that you may be saying, hey, you come to church, but you know what it's like walking into a room you've never been before, seeing people you've never been before, and people are raising hands saying, you know, hallelujah. It can be crazy at times, but rather we say, hey, why don't you look at the word online, and it just allows them to be able to receive that and maybe one day allow them to take that next step to come to church. And we've grown our staff team. Our operations director, Kelly McCormick, she's out there. She's doing orientation with our welcome teams. And So she is on full-time staff, and I just want to show you our current staff team. So we've moved swiftly. We've moved fast. We started out with just myself and Jillian volunteering, but now we have myself as the lead pastor, along with Jillian, leading our church. Jillian's part-time now as our kids' church pastor. She oversees all of the kids' church and all of our kids' ministry. Claire Kerwin, as you've seen, was leading worship today. She's our assistant kids' church pastor and also a worship leader here in Dublin. We have Kelly McCormick, who I've just said is full-time and operations director. And then Brian Agar, our youth leader, production director, and he's part-time also. We've got three full-time and two part-time staff, and they are amazing, a joy to work with, and we're all on in every area, not just those areas. We're doing everything. And some of the goals that we have looking forward for 2020, our aim in 2020 is to grow our morning services to 250 people. So just to continue to grow what we're doing, and God continue to bless what you're doing, to be fruitful, and that this would bear fruit. And when we get to that place and we hit those attendance goals, our next step is going to be adding an evening service. So we're looking at 6, 7 o'clock, that kind of time. So we're looking maybe in spring or late spring, if we get to that place by then, to add another service for an opportunity for families to come, of course, but also young students who get up with a crack at noon. And you love that joke, a crack at every time. And who come along to an evening service and join in also. But our dream and our prayer is by September 2020, we become a church of 300 people, which if you had ever said that to us before we started our church, my dream was 80 people. 300 people is far beyond anything that we could have imagined, and that's God, isn't it? And that's when you know it's God. And so in 2.5 years, our dream will be that we'll be 300 people. Why? Because we want to reach everyone. We want to see others experience Jesus in a life-giving environment and experience life change. Yes, we never want to be a big church where, you know, where it's so big that you can't connect. We want to be a community. We want to be forming together, but we want to be able to create enough space and capacity for others to be a part of our church and to be a part of our community. So we'll never be a big church, but we will be a large church. Two very different things, which I may talk about one time. Anyway, moving on, because we're running out of time. Financial budget, this again is a time every year that we take to really outline our budgets for 2019 and look forward at the next year, because we always want to be transparent in sharing with you where our finances are going into, what it's going into. So this year, by the 31st of December, it will be €223,000 for our annual budget. This budget is invested into three key areas. The first one is ministry. Everything that it takes happen, make Sunday happen, from worship to production, kids, youth, and pastoral care. The second area is our personnel. So that's all of our full-time staff, our part-time staff, but also our support staff who work here. There's about 3 to 4 people who work on Sunday mornings making this happen, because we come in at 8 in the morning and people are leaving at 2:30. And the third area is really our building. So everything from our rental of our space, we've gone from like 3 rooms to nearly every room in the conference center. And because we're just continuing to expand and create space. And so that's all teas and coffees, all of the costs that we're getting through that. And our proposed financial budget for 2020 is $255,000. And so this is to be able to continue to doing what we're doing, but also to expand our staff and expand our ability to do more, to reach more, to invest in all areas of our church and our kids, our youth, our connect groups, and in particular, our pastoral care for our congregation. It's one thing that is really desire for next year and looking into and investing in that. And also looking at outreach into the community, that we begin growing roots into the community and becoming a part of the community more on a practical basis. And we want to explore that further in 2020. So finally, the question that I've been asked so much, probably more in the last 6 months, is when are we getting our own building? When are we getting our own space? And so in August of this year, I took some time out, about 12 days in all, where I traveled across the states, went to 9 different cities, met 3 different locations, meeting a bunch of people, and a goal to raise enough money for us to either purchase a building or to lease our own building. And so I went there with, like, we're going to do this in the coming months. We're going to raise the money. And after spending time with some really wise leaders and experienced leaders, I came back with this truth that we're not ready yet, that there is more to be done here and now, that we need to continue to build where we are and reach more people before entering into a building project. And ultimately, it is our desire to have a permanent location, but I don't want to prematurely make the leap before we're ready. You hear me saying that? I don't want to see this incredible blessing become a burden. For us, myself and my wife, for our leadership, for our congregation, but I want to focus on building our church better. That's going to be our focus. How can we build our church better? How can we be more intentional, more authentic, be more deeper relationships with people, reach more people, seeing more lives change, establishing ourselves as a congregation? And I want us to grow out our space so much so that the next natural step will be we're moving. We're moving into our building, and where we'll have enough people needed, the support needed, the finances needed, and the resources needed that will bring great strength to our church, not destabilize our church. So in preparation for this next step, so I'm not saying, not like I'm ready today, but I'm saying not in the near future, like the coming months, but in preparation for this, our audacious goal is to raise 300,000 euros for our own permanent location. Now I know. You gotta like, what? It would keep you up late at night if it was down to me, but thank you, Jesus, it's not down to me. When we were getting ready to plant this church and looking at all the costs, it was scary when you raise enough finances for year one, but you go, what happens after year two? And you go, you know what? We came to a place where we surrendered everything to God, summer of 2017, myself and Jillian, and we haven't stressed or worried about finances in the church from that day to this day. Why? Because Jesus is the head of his church. We will steward what he's given us in our homes and our families. You got to steward, you got to budget, you got to be diligent, you got to, every cent has a place, every cent has a name, but at the same time, God's provision, God is our provider. He is our provision. And so 300,000 euros will be enough for us to be able to walk in to a location that is fitted out to the standards of excellence. I have unrelenting standards. I'm dealing with it with counselors. I have unrelenting standards. So this is a beautiful space because it's clean. It's simple. There's no leads. There's that lead. It's just nice. So when we walk into our space, it's going to be the most excellent space. Well, three things that we're doing. Just two practical steps that we're taking. So we're moving forward with this. It's not yet in the next coming months. But in the new year, we're establishing a building team that will be set with the remit of finding a suitable location that's the right size and the right cost. I tell you why is because I don't want to get a place that suits our size. I want us to get a place that suits a larger size. So we'll be able to grow into a space, not move into a space and we're like, this is already too small. Does that make sense? Second thing is we're going to continue to grow where we are and have more people on board, more people investing into the church. And the third thing is I'm continuing to communicate with those who are investing in our church to continue to receive investment of 300,000 euros. And so that we'll be able to move into a building with the needs that we have. So we are taking steps towards it. In terms of timeline, I've set out the goals. They're goals in which we believe are realistic and attainable. Adding more people to our teams, seeing more people give regularly. And I would hope by this year, this time next year, or possibly this summer, you know, again, we're just following God on this, that we will have identified a suitable location, raised the finances needed, and preparing for a move. But you need to hear me. We're following God every step of the way here. Because we believe that God's timing is perfect timing. And when it's the right time, it will be the right time. So today, as you give in the vision offering, you are giving into a church that steward diligently with a board of directors. We have a thorough audited accounts, that's annual audited accounts. We have a leadership that is overseen by some of the wisest and most experienced leaders. And you're giving into a vision that is large, that is audacious, and that is passionate about seeing others reached with the life-giving message of Jesus, to see people experience life change through Jesus Christ. So that card in which you would have received. On it, there's a number of ways to give. Sean outlined at the beginning during our time of giving the different ways in which you can give. So we've got openarms.ie/giving. There's a PayPal account. You can also, the banking details, you want to do it yourself electronically. You can give weekly through cash as the envelopes that we use. And every single cent that's given both online and here through those envelopes, we'll be able to receive 30% back on every euro given through the revenue because we're a registered charity. But also, you can use the credit and debit facility that's outside. But today, you may decide to give over and above your tithe. So as a church, we believe in biblical tithing, which is giving God 10% of our finances back to God through the local church. That's something we don't monitor. That's something that we don't press upon people, but rather we invite people through you and your own relationship with God to do that in such a way that's between you and God. And if you're not giving regularly today and you've been a part of a church, I would encourage you to start giving regularly. And maybe it's not quite a tithe and 10%, but maybe you got to start with, okay, I'm going to commit to 100 euros a month. And then next year it'd be 200 euros a month or whatever it is. But saying, you know what, I'm making a pledge. I'm making a decision. I'm investing in this. I'm a part of this. But also today you may just decide, hey, We're raising finances for our operating budget, but also for the 300,000. Maybe it's like, I want to give a once-off donation today to help that, to say, I'm sowing into that. It's not about the size. It's about the heart. It's about generosity. And it's about you making the decision, I'm in. I'm with this. This is my house. This is my church. This is our community. So as you just take a moment just to maybe fill that out, also, I understand that maybe it's your first time hearing about this, so you might want to take it home, pray with your spouse, decide together, look at your budget as we're getting ready, and come back next week or the week after and bring that. But I just want to ask you today, will you invest? Will you sow into what God is doing? Now, I get the opportunity to meet so many different people across the world who love Ireland, who've been praying for Ireland for many years, and share our story, share your story, and say, hey, this is what God is doing. I know we're also able to say, our people are giving. Our people are investing. We're not dependent on outside support, which is incredible. Only 18 months in, we are self-sustainable. And so every cent that we raise outside of that is able to go towards expansion. Because our people are giving. You guys are giving, and we're so thankful for that. You're such a generous congregation. We're so grateful for you and so grateful for what you're giving. Because of what you give, we're able to reach more people. So why don't you just take a moment to do that, and I'm just going to pray before we take up our offering. And the reason I'm asking you to fill out the cards, rather, it is more for us to be able to look forward and saying, okay, this is what we have for next year. We know where we stand. This is what we're going to have above budget to be able to invest into our building. But let me just pray as we get ready to give today. God, we want to thank you for how much you've blessed us as a people, as a church. Lord, I pray that we would never become about money, but we'll always be about Jesus. And if Jesus is the Lord of our life, he can be the Lord of our money. Money is just, it's something to be used for the glory of God. Both for building your kingdom, but also for building our lives, building our families. But God, we release all we have to you. God, I pray that you would help us to be generous people in everything, not just money, but in our time, our energy, our words, our encouragements. God, that we would be a generous people who are not focused on getting, but giving, who are not focused on being blessed, but rather being a blessing. And we ask this in your name. Amen.